Welcome back into another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I'm your co-host Corey Kinnon alongside Dalton Miller. Again, this week starts the three episode a week off season we're going to roll with right now. We're still working out the schedule this week. It looks like we're going to do a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday release. Who knows how might that look in the future? It's kind of an odd week for both of us recording wise. So we'll figure that out more, but we are down to three episodes a week. And today we are going to talk about some rookie betting odds, some rookie awards, watch lists, some, you know, some long shots to win it, some best bets to make, some stuff like that to go through here. So, but before we do that, Dalton, welcome back in and how are you feeling today?
Well, I'm fantastic, man. Fantastic. I got the Patreon, stuff content coming up, but it's flowing. I changed my schedule back up to where I'm going to start going to the gym at 7 a.m. again. Because I just wasn't being productive enough throughout the day going a little bit later with my cousin-in-law here, because like I wasn't like waking up at 4 a.m. like I normally was and working before going to the gym either. So needed to fix the schedule a little bit. I was super productive today. I got Byron Brown cut up and in the Patreon. A fun athlete, got hurt last year. But a fun player down there in South Florida. So got his dropbacks and all of their run game, because their entire run game is pretty much mesh-based. So he's a part of the read for most of it. So I left him all in pretty much.
Yeah, that South Florida offense is literally like the worst version of the Tennessee offense that you could literally find anywhere.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal. Pretty brutal last year. So yeah, if you want to go watch Byron Brown, there you go. That's amazing. It's amazing. All right. Well, before we get too deep into this, Daft on DraftWise as well, I dropped my first scouting notebook of the season as well. So that's up there for paid subscribers to take a look at. Again, working through, last week was a bit of a light week, but working through to figure out how to get, you know, at least four premium pieces up on the Substack per week. But let's dive right into this here. So, you know, we've got some DraftKings odds here, some FanDuel odds here to go through. And we're going to just talk about looking through this rookie class here, starting with offensive and defensive rookie of the years. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody when we're talking about the best odds to win offensive rookie of the year is led by Las Vegas running back Ashton Jeanty at +250. Titans quarterback Cam Ward is +380. Travis Hunter at +900. So there's a pretty big drop off there between Cam Ward to Travis Hunter. Teteroa McMillan +1,000 with the Panthers. Tyler Shuck +1,200. I guess they're just assuming he's going to win that starting job there in New Orleans over Spencer Rattler, which, I mean, if you're drafting a 26-year-old quarterback in a limbo year, you probably should just go ahead and play him. So that makes sense to me. +1,200. Omarion Hampton +1,400. And then we've got some deeper cut sleepers that we'll go over as well here. Dalton, first reactions to seeing kind of how the offensive rookie of the year kind of falls out right there.
I think it makes a lot of sense because we don't really have, I mean, and Vegas probably has a much better picture of what they believe Travis Hunter is going to be at the NFL level for the Jacksonville Jaguars and how much of an appearance he is going to make between the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And we're going to obviously look at both sides. He is +1,000 or better on both sides, but +900 on offense. And I mean, I'm not really a betting man because I live in Portugal, so I'm kind of out of my jurisdiction to be an NFL gambler. Obviously, there are ways that I could go about it, but as a person with a very, very addictive personality, I just stay away from it. My money would be on Travis Hunter, like my solid money, because for me, is Las Vegas going to be good enough to actually get Ashton Jeanty to produce at a level where he can actually win offensive rookie of the year? Maybe he very well could, especially with Geno there. They have a little bit of an offensive identity. They have a good front office, I think, now. And they've made a lot of strides, but they still play in the AFC West. It's still going to be tough.
He's going to get 400 touches, though.
That is where the saving grace is going to have to be.
Yeah.
Because he's just going to have to accumulate touches. My issue is, I think it's between him and Hunter, because I just don't think Cam Ward will be good enough as a rookie. Just flat out. Mm-hmm. And so for me, because of the plus 900 odds, I would put my money on Travis Hunter, because it wouldn't shock me at all if he came in and had 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
It wouldn't shock me either. I think I would still, even though the odds aren't great, like it's still plus odds to bet, even if it's just plus 250 on Jante there, I'd probably still take that. But there, I wasn't a huge, like neither of us were huge, like Tet McMillan is a for sure top 10 player in this class, the way that some others were. In this class, yes, but not like overall grade-wise. But when you look at that wide receiver room, man, he might get 70% of the targets in that wide receiver room. He might get a healthy dose, share of targets there. And so that's tempting there at plus 1,000 as well with Tet McMillan there. But ultimately, I still struggle to see how he'll get consistently open at the NFL level to put money on that. And again, I'm not a huge gambler either. And that's just like, one, personally, and two, my wife and I just have that rule. Like even during the draft, I knew for sure that the Browns were trading the pick and they were drafting Mason Graham fifth overall. And it's like, Hannah, I know for sure this is happening. And she's like, that's still a slope. And I was like, I get it. But this is just a fun conversation to go over as well. I'm going to go. I think I'd still take the 250 on Jante, the plus 250 on Jante there. Let's talk some deeper cuts, though. Some deeper cuts here. Caleb Johnson plus 3,000 is interesting to me, because I think Jaylen Warren is still the relief pitcher, the closer in that running back room. Aaron Rodgers is tentatively playing quarterback for them. But like it's 40-year-old Rodgers. And yeah, they have DK Metcalf, but like, that's one wide receiver in that room, unless you really have an appreciation for Roman Wilson or Calvin Austin that I don't have. I think the opportunity is going to be there for Caleb Johnson in with Arthur Smith there to run for like 1,200 yards as a rookie. I really think that opportunity is going to be there for Caleb Johnson at plus 3,000. So Caleb Johnson plus 3,000 is really interesting to me.
That is a pretty deep cut. Mine's Tyler Warren. Mine's Tyler Warren. He went exactly where we wanted him to go in the draft, exactly where he needed to go in the draft. And we have seen Shane Steichen be able to kind of cultivate an offense around a pretty athletic tight end. And I like Dallas Goedert quite a bit, but Tyler Warren is a whole different beast. And we saw that at Penn State. And when you put together everything that he did at Penn State, and if Shane Steichen even sniffs that ability is there at the NFL level, getting him in the backfield with Jonathan Taylor and with Anthony Richardson, that's three 230 plus pound dudes who are legitimately elite athletes at their positions. That is a dangerous, dangerous rushing attack as well. Mm-hmm. And Tyler Warren is somebody who can legitimately get to the corner as a runner, which is insane for being 260 pounds. But he's got good patience. He's got good vision, former quarterback, and he is a good runner. So I think he's somebody who could give you the 200, 250 rushing yards on top of what he brings as a wide receiver. And then if you have the guts to make him a wildcat quarterback as well and let him throw the ball, and he throws for two or three touchdown passes this year in the red zone, well, holy crap, you're looking at a dude who could have 1,000-plus yards as a receiver, 250 yards as a rusher, and a couple touchdown passes as well. Maybe?
It could happen. My biggest concern with a tight end, and again, Jaden Daniels had a really excellent season as a rookie too, but like,
he's also awesome.
He is. We've never seen a tight end put up numbers like Brock Bowers did, and he still couldn't win the award.
Yeah, but because Jaden Daniels was awesome.
Yeah, I get it. I've said my piece on Colson Loveland as well, how I think he's going to fit in that offense so well. But I think that ultimately,
I have too many mouths to feed there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. One that could potentially interest me, Quinshon Judkins at plus 1600.
Yeah.
Like, I know him and Dylan Sampson are going to share that backfield, but like, this is clearly a year where the Browns are going to play their young players a lot. And Judkins is going to get a lot of carries. He's going to get a ton of carries in that offense behind a pretty defensive, a pretty decent offensive line that isn't playing in a scheme they aren't used to anymore. They're going back to a scheme that everybody on that offensive line knows how to play and play well. So that's interesting to me that the Judkins at plus 1600 as well. Henderson at plus 2200 as well, just because he brings such a different skill set to Ramondre Stevenson. But I would wonder how many carries Ramondre Stevenson's going to eat in that offense still, because they did just pay him a year ago. And I know it's a coaching change, but that would probably limit me from wanting to bet on Henderson there as well. But that's at least like piques my interest at plus 2200 too.
Defense.
Let's move on to defense. So yeah, defensive player of the year. We got a whole lot of edge rush here and then a couple others. Abdul Carter leads the way at plus 250, the New York Giants. Jalen Walker plus 700 with the Atlanta Falcons. So right out of the gate here, they're saying they're leveraging pretty heavily. Like, well, Abdul Carter is the clear favorite here for defensive rookie of the year. Mykael Williams with the 49ers at plus 1000. Travis Hunter again, plus 1000. Shamar Stewart plus 1200. Mason Graham plus 1200. Mike Green plus 1500. Jahad Campbell plus 1500. James Pierce Jr. plus 1600. Those are the kind of all the ones that kind of linger around the same odds there. What sticks out to
if
you there?
If you could tell me that Travis Hunter was going to play full-time defense, that would be my bet. I just think he plays more offense than he does defense, and that takes him out of the running for me.
I think so too. I wouldn't bet on Travis Hunter defensive player, the defensive rookie of the year for sure.
No, for me, this is a pretty easy Abdul Carter pick.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Again, because like I question the upside, the pass rush upside that both Walker and Williams have. And even Stewart to an extent. But Stewart could go and be the guy day one if this Trey Henderson thing keeps going the way it's trending. Like, that could be Stewart's defensive line for him to like set up for him to be the most productive player in the defensive line. Which is crazy to say about a guy who had four career sacks in college. But we've always agreed the skill set's there. The baseline is there. So at 1,200 for Stewart, 1,200 for Mason Graham, it's hard to.
I think Graham would be my bet there over Stewart for sure.
Interesting. Okay. I would say it would be tough when you share a line with Myles Garrett, Mike Hall Jr., you know, some productive players there.
But that also opens up opportunity for you.
True. It does. It does indeed. Deep cut wise, not a lot of deep cut guys that I would bet money on. I think the one that sticks out. I was going to say two as well. The one that sticks out to me is Nick Scorton at plus 3,500. Because Carolina doesn't have any pass rushers and they just cut Jadeveon Clowney as well. So somebody has to rush the passer. We both have been very indicative that we don't believe him playing at 285 is the same player he was at Purdue playing at 265. And by all indications, he's back around 265. So if we believe that that's the player that Nick Scorton is, that Carolina drafted 51st overall, was sitting here with plus 3,500 odds, like that might be one I would, if I were a betting man, I would throw a couple dollars on.
I don't think that's a bad decision because the odds are so deep there. Mm-hmm. You can just throw a couple of dollars there and see how it goes. If you really like Nick Scorton the way that we did. Mm-hmm. The other two names that I was going to bring up, just because of situationally, they're going to be in pretty decent setups to find a little bit of success, is Donovan Ezeraquu in Dallas and Walter Nolan in Philly. Mm-hmm. Just because if Walter Nolan comes in on third downs and gets 6, 7, 8 sacks, even if he doesn't have a huge like overall impact, what are the voters really looking at? Are they really looking at your full resume of the season, or are they kind of box score checking? Because I don't believe that these guys are sitting down and actually watching the tape of all of these guys. So for me, you know, who is going to be able to rack up some production? And Ezeraquu on the opposite side of Micah Parsons and Odighizuwa, who is a pretty good pass rusher on the interior as well. I think could be somebody who, with his pass rush repertoire, could be a little bit dangerous. And then Walter Nolan, just as an athlete on third downs in that defense with all of those names there, could have a lot of very, very advantageous situations for success.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm looking up something real fast here that might lead me to something else, but I can't find a result. I was thinking, like, where did L'Jarius Sneed finish in Defensive Rookie of the Year votes? Oh, he wasn't even a top. Never mind. Well, yeah, I'll look that up later. But I want to know where L'Jarius Sneed finished in Defensive Rookie of the Year votes, because is there a reason to buy in a little bit to Noel Williams if the production is there like it was for Sneed? Chase Young ended up winning Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2020, which maybe tells you to go highly drafted pass rusher to begin with.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe I just answered my own question there as well. If Derek Harmon was drafted to be the heir apparent to Cam Hayward, which he was, but if he was drafted to be the heir apparent to Cam Hayward in a year where Cam Hayward was no longer playing, like if Cam Hayward had just retired and then he was playing, I might buy in a little bit Derek Harmon at plus 4,000 as well. But with Cam Hayward still there, yeah, I'm not gonna do that yet. So the Abdul Carter bet there is definitely the safe bet to make. Definitely a safe bet to meet there with a couple other deep cuts there. So FanDuel actually has an entire section just titled Travis Hunter regular season specials. Let's cut into some of those here a little bit, because they're pretty fun. And some of them don't have like terrible odds. Don't have terrible odds. So the first one is just a receiving prop, but Travis Hunter to record plus 1,000 receiving yards on the season. That seems,
if you're telling me playing full-time receiver, I might take that bet.
If you tell me, yeah. If you tell me he's playing 70% receiver, I'd take that bet. I think just because he's already wide receiver two to Brian Thomas, Liam Cohen's going to throw the football out. Like Baker Mayfield threw for 5,000 yards last year. So like,
yeah,
going to throw the ball a ton. I think Baker Mayfield dropped back 40 plus times in almost every single game last year. So they're going to throw the ball a ton. I think I'd probably take that. All right. Next one. Travis Hunter to record 75 plus regular season receptions and 2 plus regular season interceptions plus 250. Would you take that?
No. And I wouldn't. It would be because of the 75 receptions, not because of the 2 regulars. I think if he plays like any version of defense over like 25% of the snaps, I think he's getting 2 interceptions. I think he's too good of a ball hawk not to get his hands on the football that much.
Oh, yeah. Even if he's just playing nickel dime packages, he's still on passing situations. He's coming down with at least 2.
Yeah. The next one for me I'm out on, which is Travis Hunter to score 10 plus touchdowns at plus 700. I wouldn't take that. What I would take is him scoring 5 regular season touchdowns on offense and 1 on defense at 1,200. That I would take.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a fun one for me.
That is a fun one. Yeah. Whew. Yeah, that'll do. That's a doozy. I would take that one too. And I went back to the last one, the 75 receiving yards, just to go back to Tampa Bay's offense last year. And not a single receiver on Tampa Bay had 75 catches, let alone 2.
Yeah.
Which Brian Thomas Jr. he's got to share a field with. And Chris Godwin obviously was hurt, and he had 50 through 7 games, so he would have hit that number, but that's a tough one to make. But yeah, 5 offensive touchdowns and 1 defensive touchdown plus 1,200. Those are pretty decent odds too. Like that feels a little bit like free money alert. Feels a little bit like free money alert.
You also have the Travis Hunter to win either offensive or defensive rookie of the year, which is plus 450. And I think that that's a pretty good bet overall to win one of the two.
One of the two.
Because especially with like Abdul Carter has the shoulder, has the foot. Like, if you have any questions about his injury history, you're looking at the guy who is third in defensive prop betting right now, and you're looking at a guy who we both believe at number 2 in Jalen Walker, who is a project. So I would take that bet right there.
I think I'd be open to it as well. I want to go back up to one at the top as well that I think is really interesting, because it would indicate Travis Hunter taking the league by storm week one, and I'm all here for it. And I honestly think it's not too far fetched. Plus 1600, Travis Hunter to score one touchdown and one interception in his season debut. Like, that's a pick six or a touchdown and interception playing both ways.
That is true.
Plus 1600, that's a fun one to even think about, though. Because, like,
and what if they go out there and they play him 150 snaps in week one?
And just I don't think that's going to happen. But, like, even just playing him in obvious passing situations,
but what if they do
40 defensive snaps?
But what if they do?
That would be nuts.
Be like, let's see how long your body holds up, young man.
Yeah. But I low key can think that would be an interesting one that I would think about potentially.
It's super long odds, so you throw $5 at it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that's enough Travis Hunter.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless you want to talk about the plus 8,000 Travis Hunter to win offensive and defensive rookie of the
player. Yeah, no.
All right, so just to close out this episode then, we didn't want to leave out the big boys. Obviously, you can have as dominant of a rookie season as you want as an offensive lineman, Joe Alt, for example, and you're not going to even be considered for the award. So we got to talk about trench players a little bit, and we talked about some defensive tackles a little bit. But what we're going to close out the episode with here is just creating our own award for prediction for who we think is going to be the most impactful offensive trench player and the most impactful defensive trench player. Dalton, I'll let you start here on this one with offensive trench player here.
Yeah, so you got to kind of look at who is going to get an opportunity here. And at tackle, Will Campbell for sure going to get an opportunity. Armand Membel, probably, but it's not a 100% thing that he is going to start. Kelvin Banks will start.
Membel is interesting too because they just drafted Olufoshana, and how can he be more impactful than the guy who's going to play left tackle that is also young? So it's like, how do you weigh that out? To me,
well, it just doesn't matter. Like if he plays right tackle and he's fantastic, he's still making because that's where he played. So. If he plays right tackle, then and he's really good, then he's really good. Like for me, that's what it's kind of all about here. It's about who is the best in the trenches here, and for me, it's probably going to be one of those top three guys, or it's going to be at the guard position, and you're looking at guard or center depending on what Gray Zabel does, and I think if Gray Zabel plays center. This might be him. Mm. This might be his award because he was so good at the Senior Bowl. And I know that it's a practice environment, but being in an environment that you have not been in, snapping the ball, hitting your landmarks with precision and being absolutely dominant at a position you didn't play in college was incredibly, incredibly impressive. I also think that Donovan Jackson on that offensive line, because it is so good. If Christian Darrisaw is healthy, which big question mark, but I think he could be a potential here. Mm-hmm. And then Tyler Booker, probably not because he has, in my opinion, what is a little bit of a liability at right tackle. And I think having insulation around you as an interior player is super important, which also takes it away from Gray Zabel a little bit in this little question mark. But it's incredibly difficult to play offensive tackle at the NFL level as well. And I think when I look at these offenses, even though I think there could be issues with Campbell in the long run, I think with the talent at quarterback, with Josh McDaniels taking a lot of the load off because that is going to be a run-heavy offense, because Will Campbell is a very good run blocker, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to the highest drafted offensive lineman. And I hate to say that, but it's really the way it feels.
Yeah, Will Campbell's the easy answer here. Without a doubt, the easy answer here. I might go with Donovan Jackson, though. For the same reasons that he was so valuable.
I would love to be able to go with Kelvin Banks, but not with those quarterbacks. He's going to get... We're going to see a lot of the same stuff we saw at Texas when they actually had to drop back and pass the ball, because those quarterbacks are going to hold on to the ball and take sacks, no matter how good he is.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to go with Donovan here, and it's multifaceted, but the same reason that he was extremely valuable to Ohio State during the playoffs and why he's a first round pick. Christian Darrisaw tore both his ACL and MCL in October, late October. Like, is that a week one back kind of player with the, like, a mid-ish late season ACL tear?
As a 300-pounder?
As a 300-pounder. And he is really athletic, so, like, there's a chance that he could have some mutant genes in there, and then he's ready to go by week one. And I think, by all indication, it seems like that is his goal, is to be ready by week one. But if not, we're talking about maybe Donovan Jackson starting at left tackle week one as a rookie. On a team that we've discussed has Super Bowl aspirations and are potentially just how good is J.J. McCarthy away from being a Super Bowl team. So with that being said, like that really sets it up to, like, Donovan Jackson is going to potentially have high expectations as a first rounder, but then, like, high responsibility placed on his shoulders. I mean, Will Campbell's going to be playing left tackle for the Patriots too, with a second year quarterback on a team that's not where Minnesota is in terms of rebuild. I do think New England's going to be a lot better than they were last year, because I think Drake May's awesome, and I think there's going to be a second year leap, and they've done a good job to add some talent around him, and an offensive line around him, but nowhere near, like, we're talking about the Vikings being a competitive Super Bowl team if JJ McCarthy pans out to be a good football player. So I think that sets the bar real high for Donovan Jackson from week one, and so I think I'm going to go with Donovan Jackson on this one.
All right.
What about defensively here, Dalton? Most impactful rookie trench player defensively.
And what I mean, I think for me, it's got to be Mason Graham.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be Mason Graham. Listen, Abdul Carter's outrageous.
Yeah.
And New York has a ton of talent on that defensive line. So Carter will get his opportunities. But I think playing closer to the quarterback on a defense with Myles Garrett is going to give Mason Graham a ton of one-on-one situations that I think he's going to be able to take full advantage of in Cleveland.
It's hard to argue about with that, especially considering, like, Abdul Carter is joining a pass rush room that already consists of Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns and Darius Alexander and Dexter Lawrence. And so, like, he is another stallion in a stable of horses.
He's got to get there first. That's the problem. Like, he might just be consistently getting there, but second.
Yeah. And we're talking about Mason Graham, who is headlining already a defensive tackle room of him, Malik Collins, who's a pretty solid vet, Shelby Harris, a pretty solid vet, Mike Hall Jr., last year's second round pick, who has explosive pass rush upside. So, like, but, like, we're talking about the fifth overall pick with another guy, with a young guy who's explosive, and then two vets. So, like, the opportunity for Mason Graham to be the best defensive tackle, the second best defensive lineman in that room from day one is there.
Yeah.
Outside of Abdul Carter joining a stable of stallions. So I think Mason Graham's the pretty easy choice there as well. I think that's a good call.
I am very excited, and I know that we kind of, you glossed over it earlier when you were talking about Shamar Stewart, but I'm very excited to see how Shamar Stewart fits in Cincinnati. A lot of changes coming to that defense anyway, so it'll just be a fascinating fit for me.
For sure. I hope they don't try to, like, Riley Mills him, like five tech, three tech him like Riley Mills. That would be unfortunate.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Yeah. But it is Al Golden, so we'll see there. But yeah, this Trey Hendrickson thing looks like it's heading south pretty fast. So Shamar Stewart might be the A1 pass rusher on that defensive line by week one.
Better hope not, Cincy.
Yeah, but that might be where we're at. All right. Well, again, that's another episode. Again, check out all the peripheral stuff we got going on. Dalton's Patreon is booming. He's got all 22 if you're in the hunt. I've been twitching. If you're into Twitch, you know, I've been twitching. I've been opening up the comment section to some NFL draft discourse and just playing NCAA football and then answering any question or talking about any topic that comes across the comments. It's been a lot of fun, to be honest. It's been a blast. I'm in year three of my Vanderbilt dynasty now, and I've crashed out in the playoffs the first 2 years. So hopefully this is the year I get it done. So, but yeah, we got that. Substack's going well. Dalton, anything else you want to pitch?
Nah. Let's get the people out of here. I love you guys.
All right. Well, that's it. Again, until the next time, we'll get a Dafter draft in this week and probably a mailbag. So we'll send out a request for some mailbag questions here in the near future and get firing away there. But yeah, I think that's it. Until next time, this has been the Daft on Draft Podcast.